Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a family pet is the only thing that protects a little girl from things that go bump in the night. While on vacation, and at a vacation cottage with a friend, a boy discovers that their cottage is truly haunted. A listener shares why she believes our podcast is haunted. And a new apartment comes complete with all the latest upgrades, including a ghost girl and her ghost cat. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
So our show is haunted.
Yeah, and it irritates this listener.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it what I don't want to give too much away, but you know, we have a lot of people that ask the question of, do you believe by listening to your show that it can increase activity around you? Is it something along those lines?
Maybe. Okay. She actually has an experience she thinks is because of the show. So we'll just have to discuss that after the story.
Okay. This should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like this show, become an EPP, sign up. Be an extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. That's where you get all the bonus episodes. All the older archived episodes of the show are up there as well. So all in all, it's like 400 some episodes and new ones every single week going up there for you. So can't go wrong there if you want to binge away on Real Ghost Stories Online. Our first story comes into us today from Kaylee. Kaylee says, hi, my name is Kaylee. I'm from Midwestern Wisconsin. I absolutely love your show. I have a few stories that I want to share with you today. First, you should know that I have never had a childhood home. We were constantly moving, so as a shy person I was, it was really hard to make friends. When I was three or so, my mom's friend's cat had kittens. My mom let me pick one out. I picked up a small tortoiseshell kitten. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, tortoiseshell kitten. She had a black and brown back, tan chest, and white socks. She also had gorgeous green eyes. Her eyes met mine, and I knew she was mine. I named her Princess. We brought her home, and she acted as if it had been her home forever. About a year later, she would come in and somehow find her way into my crib. Princess would always cuddle up next to me, and I'd always feel safe knowing she was there. This worried my mom. She one night locked my door. First night she started doing this, I remember seeing a man standing in the corner of my room across from my crib. I felt the need to be terrified of him. I screamed and screamed and told him to go away, and he went away after my mom and Princess charged into the room. She was my little protector. My mom asked what had happened, and I explained to her that a man was standing in my corner and that Princess had scared him away. She looked like she didn't believe me, but from that night on, she never locked the door. I never saw that man in the house again. When I was 13, we moved into an old house in an old, rundown-looking town. All the kids in the school knew that I had moved into that house. They all told me that it was haunted and that no one ever stayed there long. I felt like I was in a horror movie. I was so scared. I didn't want to leave, believe me, but... I didn't want to believe them, rather. But at the same time, I knew that they were right. From the moment that I'd set foot in that house, I felt like I was being choked by the anger. My bedroom was in the loft, mostly because I liked my privacy and it was quiet. After some time, I'd hear footsteps coming up the stairs. When it got to the top of the stairs, it would stop. Nothing more was to be heard. Princess would growl and hiss at walls and corners in my room. She would always stay awake through the night to make sure I was safe. If something was off, she would wake me by cuddling up to me or lick my face or something gentle. I never saw anything in the house, just really creepy-ass vibes. But a year or so of living there, Princess developed bladder cancer. I eventually came to the decision to euthanize her because I couldn't handle to see my best friend suffer so badly. On February 5th, 2012, my world stopped. Princess was my everything I had for 10 years. She follows me. I can feel her protectiveness around me all the time. I feel her jump up onto my bed at night when I feel lonely and depressed. I hear her meow at me sometimes during the day when I'm doing homework or reading. Hope this story wasn't too long of a story for you. I have one more story that I'll send in at a later time. Thanks for reading this. Thank you for having this podcast. It allows people like me to share my crazy stories and not be judged for it.
You know, I kind of go back to something we talked about yesterday, and that was, you remember Matthew's call? He had the long call. He talked about how he found if he felt safe that things couldn't bother him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that was Kaylee's thing here, where the cat made her feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So when the cat wasn't there, that's when she saw things and things kind of showed themselves to her.
So it wasn't so much a matter of the cat like physically stopping the ghost, it was the cat enabling her to feel safe or feel protected, and it was the aura that she put out because of what was around her.
That's what I'm wondering. That also kind of goes along with the whole pull the covers over your head and then go back to sleep. You know, you feel safer with the covers over your head, even though it's just a sheet.
Sure.
So it makes me wonder, maybe he was onto something yesterday when he was talking about how if you feel safe, then that kind of keeps things at bay more.
I suppose it makes sense. I mean, it's just like somebody says, envision yourself in white light before you do it. It's like, is white light really emanating from you physically? No, but it's the attitude that you're putting out.
Creating a bubble.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's I think it's that all kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
So I could definitely see that. Thanks for sharing the story there. 855-853-4802, our number. Nick says, hi, guys. Just started listening to your show a few days ago, and it keeps me super entertained while at work. I have quite a few stories, but I'll only share one for now. I was in Maine with a good friend of mine, dirt biking at his family's house in essentially the middle of nowhere, Maine, with his mom and sister around 2006. On the way up, he told me about the house being haunted, and in particular, the widow's walk was the most haunted, followed by some noises around the house. Thinking nothing of it, when we got there, my friend and I went into the widow's walk when we first got there, and right away it felt as if something was watching us, and the feeling the room gave off was somewhat uncomfortable. So that night, my friend and I slept in the den on the first floor, which is where we could sleep with the TV on. The first night, we slept there around 11 p.m. that evening. My friend was asleep. For a good 2 to 3 minutes, I heard walking around upstairs by where his mom and sister were sleeping. The next morning, I asked who was walking around upstairs at 11 o'clock, and they claimed they were fast asleep. For the next few nights that followed, at the same time, 11 o'clock at night, I would hear footsteps for a good 2 to 3 minutes each night. Finally, the last night, my friend and I worked up the courage to sleep upstairs. He was fast asleep by around 10, but I was wide awake and frankly scared as to what I would see. Same time, 11 o'clock that night, I heard the footsteps, except instead of hearing it from downstairs, I heard it walking down the hall towards where we were sleeping, which was two doors down from the stairs that led to the widow walk. Frightened, I hid under the covers. As soon as the walking stopped, I heard a loud bang in the hallway as if a bowling ball dropped on the floor from the ceiling. As you can imagine, I couldn't sleep that night, but I was so happy we were leaving in the morning. It was probably the first paranormal experience I ever had, and it scared the crap out of me. At first, I was skeptical about the house being haunted, but now I believe it. I haven't been back since. Sorry this is so long, but I figured I'd share one of my few stories. Hope it makes it onto your podcast. You guys are awesome, and I love the podcast.
Do you know what a widow walk is?
No.
Okay. Older homes, especially like seaside homes, some of them have, it looks like a railing on the top. I know you've seen it before. You probably can't imagine
okay.
it. But it was a place where you could go up there, and it kind of kept you from falling. But they called it a widow's walk because it was claimed that women that whose husbands went off into the, you mm-hmm. know, they went to sea for, mm-hmm. you know, oil or
yeah.
whatever from the whales.
Yeah.
yeah. Always waited and waited and watched for any sign of them coming home.
Okay.
Up there. And they don't come home. So that's why they call it a widow's walk.
I see. Okay.
And that's not a term we made up. This was something I had to Google it because I'd never heard of it before. But
it
I thought
exists.
It's really a neat thing.
And then eventually she dies and she's the ghost that's standing up there on the walk.
Yeah.
It's a creepy image.
Yeah.
Kind of foggy and wind blowing and mm-hmm. just this figure. Yeah, that is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good movie title.
It would be.
The Widow Walk.
Mm-hmm.
Who would star? Who would be the widow?
Jennifer Lawrence, because I like everything she's in.
Then who's the guy that goes out to sea and dies?
Somebody I don't like. I don't know. You pick.
I think, you know who would make a really good sailor? A really good seaman?
Who?
Who kind of has the look going on. If you put him in a, you know, a big sailor's hat, you know, like, and then put a pipe in his mouth, and then dress him in, like, you know, sailor clothes.
Like Popeye?
Well, not necessarily Popeye, but just kind of, you know, very, you know, bearded, you know, kind of like the guy in the Vandekamp's, you know, box.
Okay.
Michael McDonald could play the part.
No.
He would make a good, because he has the big white bushy beard. And
you're no longer allowed to say Michael McDonald on this show
we're
anymore,
have a,
ever.
A bell or an alarm for that, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, there you go. Chloe writes in, when I was 7 years old, my grandma passed away. During the summer, she and my grandfather came from New York to visit my family. They stayed for a couple weeks, and before she left, she promised me that she'd visit next year. That winter, she fell very sick and passed away from heart failure. I was devastated that she never got to fulfill her promise to me, and it hurt for years. Years later, I was 16 years old, and during my ceremony, I was kneeling down, praying, as the priest blessed us. Images of my grandmother came into my mind and distracted me from concentrating. I stood up with the rest of the group and looked over at the left side of the room to see my grandmother standing there participating in the Mass. She seemed healthier than I'd ever seen her. She was no longer thin and frail. She could stand up straight again and seemed so proud. I spent the church service staring at her until it ended and she disappeared. I didn't tell my family about it because they would think I was out of my mind or that I would bring up bad memories until one day that my mom brought up the fact that she promised my grandmother that she would have my four siblings and I confirmed in the church. Now I understand why she was there. I realized that I didn't have to be upset that she wasn't able to be there for me that next summer when she was there for me the entire time.
So it makes you wonder if anybody else could have seen her or if this was just for her to see just kind of a little, mm-hmm. hey, I'm here.
Because sounding like it's so clear and like it's there, if other people did see her and maybe they didn't necessarily know her
mm-hmm.
or you know, they just, oh, it's a person.
Yeah.
You know, or it could very well be that it's projected just there. That's
sure.
That's a hard one to know, but it's a curious thing.
Yeah.
So, John writes in, I've had several strange experiences in my life, but the one that sticks the most with me is when I was around 21 living in Independence, Missouri for a short time. My girlfriend's son was 5 or 6 at the time and would mention something or someone coming into his room at night. I thought of it as his imagination until they were visiting family for a weekend and I was alone. There was an unfinished basement, and I never went down there until I began hearing things. Just random noises. Well, I'd go down and nothing. It felt very strange, as if someone was there. I went back upstairs, and that night I fell asleep on the couch while watching the 92 World Series. I woke up sometime later to the TV just with a white noise, and when I looked down at the end of the couch, there was this black grayish figure. It wasn't really tall, but for sure it was a man. We just stared at one another. I was scared out of my mind. Well, this thing turned towards the hall to my right, and I grabbed my cigarettes and went outside. I stayed out about all night. Well, that next night, I'm in the bedroom. I fell asleep. The next thing I know, I can't move, and I yelled. I said, "Leave me alone," and all I heard was a voice say, "Shut up." Then I was dragged off the bed and asked if I was cold. To this day, I don't understand what that event meant. Well, I was put back on the bed, and above me was a face. It had cold, coal black hair, maybe late 30s to early 40s. It was like gray or black in color with dark eyes. It lifted up off me and disappeared. I left that house a few weeks later. In all this, whatever it was didn't technically try to hurt me, but it's like it was warning me or something. I truly don't know.
I wonder why it asked if he was cold. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it maybe like the ghost is aware that sometimes people feel a cold sensation when a ghost is present?
And it's just curious if it's giving that off? Just out of curiosity, I'm kind of new to being a ghost. Are you cold?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm going to act like a demon now the rest of the day. And then I'm just going to disappear. And I'm going to go to your neighbor and really mess with them for a while.
I don't know.
And you're never going to forget this. And you're going to be left searching for the message. I don't know. I mean, it makes you... I think sometimes there is no message.
No.
I think sometimes it's just something screwing with someone. And
it's the most random thing it could say.
Yeah. And that's it. You know, I would say other weird things. I mean, it'd be like, do you like Spam Loaf? And then just be gone.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no spam in the house. Why would I... What are you talking about? And that's it. You know, just... what are those other things? Vienna sausages, you know?
I never liked those.
You just whisper and say, "You're out of Vienna sausages." That's it. And then just leave forever. I've never had those. They're in the can. They come kind of packed in water, don't they?
Yeah, they're gross. They're gross.
Do you eat them cold? Do you heat them up? They're kind of like mini hot dogs, aren't they?
I don't know that I've ever had one warmed up.
I don't know that you eat, I don't know how you're supposed to eat them.
I don't know.
I've just always looked at them going, canned meat. I mean, I can do like Hormel chili.
Sure.
There's, you know, that'll do. But I don't know. You have got me to enjoy Spam.
If you fry it the right way.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
But other than that, I don't do a whole lot of canned meat products. It's just, and I'm also kind of scared of, you know, because we have a canner type thing, and I was reading the recipe books, and I enjoy like making pickles and things of that nature. But then there's recipes for, you know, canned pork and canned, it's like, or jar, you know, your jar.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm already scared I'm going to kill myself with the pickles. Like something's going to go horribly wrong and it's not going to can correctly and botulism, you know, and they'll find us all murdered by pickles, essentially. Okay. But meat is a whole other level, I think, of what could possibly go wrong there. And plus, too, like when you open up, you know, when you open canned pickles, it smells like pickle and the vinegar and everything kills pretty much everything in there. With the canned meat stuff, you know, you open it, it always is not going to be that appealing of a smell, no matter what. So you can tell, you know, if there's something wrong with the pickles, like this doesn't smell like pickle anymore, this is throw it away. With the meat, you open and smell it, it's always not going to smell that great. Even if it tastes good. It's like cat food. You know, you open cat food, and it's like, oh, God, why? And they're like, you know.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, they can't wait for it. God. But I don't know. There's no, like, buffer, I guess, smell buffer to say this has gone bad. Because it always smells that way. There you go.
Okay.
We were killed by the pickle. That's what I would whisper to someone. Jennifer writes in, back in high school, my friend Dale and I really got into ghost hunting and the like. We were friends with a family who had several mediums. It was fun at the time to hang out with them and experience the stuff we did. However, my weirdest experience happened on a cold night our senior year. I was never one who could really sense or see anything specific. However, this particular night, Dale and I went out to a small rural Presbyterian church with a cemetery out back. Dale had brought along a disposable camera just to see what he could capture. He parked near the back of the church with the cemetery on our right, on the right side of the cemetery to our right on my side of the car. As we sat and talked, Dale periodically took pictures. At some point, he sent something out amongst the gravestones, looking at us. I didn't see anything, but was able to tell Dale about it and where it was in the cemetery. He took a picture, and we continued talking. As we sat and talked, I would tell him about where it was between us and the cemetery that was coming towards us. Dale took a picture. This continued on several times over the course of maybe 30 minutes to an hour. Neither of us saw anything, but I continued to since something moved towards us. Eventually, I told Dale it was standing right outside my door. The conversation continued with Dale taking pictures and me describing it climbing on the roof of the car, sliding down the windshield and off the front of the car. At that point, I no longer sensed anything. Later the following week, Dale showed me the pictures. Most of them were just pictures of the churchyard through a glare on the window. However, two of them were interesting. Both were through the windshield, as I was describing it climbing down. One was a white fog that looked like dog paws sliding down the windshield. The other was a dense white fog swirling around in about a 6-inch spiral. I'm a new listener to the podcast, enjoy it thoroughly, so I look forward to hearing my story.
If you can sense it, I think that's just almost as valid as seeing it in my mind.
Yeah, if you're someone who, you know, can verify that that's, you know, this is regularly happening to you, and that's something that, you know, you just verify to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's a regular thing, yeah, I agree. It'd be kind of creepy. I don't know that I'd just be all calm, like, hey, take more pictures. It's right up against the window right now.
Especially if you have to go get those pictures developed and you have those few days where you don't have them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't really have the digital image right there, like, hey, look, you know.
It's right there.
What I wonder with that, with digital, if you have, if you're looking through the viewfinder as it's going on.
If it'll show up.
If it'll, exactly. Because it's just the same as snapping the shot, because it's all being processed through the equipment.
I don't know.
If that would pick anything up. It's just like my idea for the EVP thing, where you're getting the audio, you're listening through the headphones, and it's picking things up, and sometimes that's a quicker way to hear if anything is responding to you versus, okay, let's go back and listen to the audio right now. Mm-hmm. If it's on a slight delay and you're listening to the delay by 0.2 of a second or something.
Right.
So I wonder if that would be the same with visuals. I'm sure the tool exists.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things out there. Is this Sharia?
I think so. I'm not sure.
It may not really surprise you to know that your podcast is haunted. Really? 2 weeks ago, when listening to your podcast, I heard static and a tiny static voice in the background while I listened to your Goatman episode. I thought nothing of it, thinking it may have been a transmission problem. Then I became very cold and my hair stood on end. This I didn't understand because that episode didn't even seem a little bit creepy. I scoffed at the idea of a goat man. The voices and static became loud and insistent, then became a sudden screech that blew up my earphones very painfully. I know this can happen if your phone is plugged in, but my phone wasn't. Today, the static returned, intermittently growling in my new Bluetooth headphones. I listened to you on my cell phone, and in the middle of listening, the phone rang. I was cold and had hair standing up just before it rang. Very distorted, the music went from delicate bells to creepy and weird, like nothing I've ever heard before. I was not afraid at all, but was simply annoyed. How dare a spirit try to interrupt your show?
I don't know that it's our show. I think things are just taking that opportune time to show up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something, if this is going on, it's going on with you. It's not really our show.
Otherwise, we'd have hundreds and hundreds of letters of people saying, your Goatman episode is totally haunted.
You could be listening to probably, you know, the Barbara Streisand channel on Sirius, and if the ghost chose to show up at that time, it would show up. The problem is you wouldn't know what the ghost was, if it was really Barbara or if it was the ghost that was making the noises.
Yeah, okay. I got nothing on that.
It's like, what is this music? Have you listened lately? Have you?
No.
I was enjoying the Yacht Rock station.
And then it flipped over to Barbara.
And then one day, all of a sudden, it's like my Kenny Loggins and everything is gone.
Uh-huh.
And it's just Barbara singing the hits. I did shed a tear. I did. I thought my radio was haunted. I was going to write into the show.
Okay.
It's like something happened. What's going on? So There you go. Katrina writes in, my cousin got in a deadly accident last month. It was a sudden loss in our family. Everyone loved him, so his death was very hard to accept and still is. So I'm writing to you because I had a couple of instances that I think my cousin might have visited me. He had been moving frames at work, knocking on my door. The most recent one was visiting me in my dream. My dream started out as a regular family party like what we usually had. He came, gave everyone kisses and hugs. When it was my turn to hug him, he asked me, "Why so sad? Are you okay? What's wrong?" From there, I forgot what I said, and I showed him the tattoo we had made for him. My real one had his initials, but in my dream, it didn't have his initials. So then when he saw it, he was like, "Cool, Cat, we match." He would say it just like that. Afterwards, I remember hugging him and crying in the middle of my dream. I woke up hugging my husband so tight, I had so many tears coming out of my eyes. I have so many questions. Does he not know he's dead? Did he visit me? Is he stuck? I was not the first person to have these dreams. His girlfriend, his siblings, and my other cousins are having the same dreams that he's asking us the same questions. Please let me know if you might be able to give us an answer. This would help our family a lot. Just became an EPP last month, and I'm loving it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
I think maybe he's coming across in such an upbeat, positive manner just to let you know he's okay on the other side.
Yeah, that's kind of what I get. I don't think it's that he's stuck, if you will.
Or confused. He's just making the rounds, saying goodbye, mm-hmm. letting everybody know he's okay.
And it's interesting that you can have some confirmation that these dreams are more than just dreams because everyone's getting asked the same questions or given the same message.
Mm-hmm.
And without necessarily communicating that, oh, I just had this dream. Here's what I was. Oh, me too. It's, you know, it's all independent of each other.
Sure.
And there's the same paranormal string in it. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, I think you're getting a goodbye message or just kind of a happy experience that you remember having with him one more time without it being a spooky setting, mm-hmm. if you will, or what the hell moment. So, thank you for the story. There you go. Jerry says, hey there, this is Jerry from Dallas, Texas. I'll keep my first submission relatively short. This happened to me this morning about 2 hours ago. I work for a distribution center on the south side of Dallas as a trainer, training new hires and how to perform their jobs. I have a new group of employees starting today and came in extra early to get their paperwork in order. I was the only one in the building. At about 4 a.m., I walked into the conference room to get a monster from the refrigerator, whistling along the way. Get my drink from the fridge, turned to walk out when I heard whistling behind me. I'd stopped whistling when I reached into the fridge to get my drink. I turned and looked behind me, and nobody was there. I walked to the window to look in the parking lot, and there's no one there either. No extra cars, just mine. As I walked towards the door to leave, I hear the whistling again. I just ignore it and go back to my desk, and about 20 minutes later, I hear the front door open and someone walks in. It was my coworker, Roger. Roger, how long have you been outside? I asked. I just pulled in, he replied, looking perplexed. Why? Come here and I'll show you how it went down. It'll be easier if I show you, I said. He jokingly asked if I was high, and I assured him that I wasn't. He follows me to the conference room where I explained to him that I was walking in, whistling. When I turned to leave, I heard whistling behind me. Bullshit, he exclaimed. I walked towards the refrigerator again to show him what had happened. I explained it came here, just like this, and was whistling. It followed me. Then I grabbed a monster, turned around to leave. We both stopped dead in our tracks, and he said, "What was that?" "You heard that too, then?" I asked. "Who whistled?" "I don't know," Roger said. Roger looked out the window and into the parking lot and said, "There's nobody here but us." "I know," I told him. This is exactly what happened to me before you guys got here. If that would have happened to me when I was alone, I would have run over here and never came back. I was curious if someone else may have been here and just didn't have a car in the parking lot, so I went into the security room and pulled up the cameras. I went back until I had unlocked the gate and came in. I watched the footage until Roger arrived, and there was nobody anywhere in the property. We were both stumped as to what it could have been. In the past, I've been working on the computer when I see someone walking towards me in the reflection of the computer monitor, but when I turn, there's nobody there. This happened more than I can remember. This building is only about 8 years old, and as far as I know, was only empty land before it was built. Nobody's died on the property since this place was built, but who knows what happened before that. Like most other people, I have several more stories that I plan on submitting. Most of them are from my younger days in Kentucky when I was a prison guard. Hopefully you'll enjoy them. Keep up the good work, guys.
That just creeps me out. And the fact that he got it to happen again when his coworker showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just doesn't happen. And so something's definitely toying with them.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as the building being old or not old, there's a lot of options there. It could be something passing through. It could be built on something, you know, could be following someone.
Yeah.
With the whistling, with him whistling and then the whistling behind him, mm-hmm. It also makes me wonder, too, if there's something going on where it's like a lapse in time. And he's hearing himself.
Okay.
You know, some sort of a temporary, you know, repeat, if you will.
I don't know. With the way he sees somebody come up behind him in the reflection.
Yeah, that, no, that adds into
there's, it. Yeah. There's other stuff going on.
Yeah. That was my first thought, though, before that portion of the story was shared.
Sure.
I was thinking, is this some sort of, you know, echo of himself that's coming off? I don't know. But yeah, there's probably obviously something going on there. As for what, I don't know. But I would love to hear his prison guard stories.
Sure.
So please do send those in. James writes in, hello, my name's James from Michigan, and I'm a huge fan of the show. I've written in before a few times about the training center for the blind where my friend caught a voice on his phone asking for me about my experiences with my cousin at his house when we were kids with the old woman's head above the clothesline. I have a new story to share with you all today. Ever since I moved into my apartment, I've had little experiences here and there that I've been able to attribute to one type of entity or another. One of these entities was the girl I wrote about in an earlier story. And another is, as far as I can tell, that of a cat. I have a cat of my own named Logan, but the experiences I have had with this ghost cat comes to visit from time to time have clearly been something other than Logan. Every once in a while, I'll feel a cool draft of air down by my feet and sometimes even the soft pressure of my small body against my lower legs and ankles. I'd look down, sometimes even saying something like, "Hi, Logan," and then I'd notice that Logan would be across the room looking at me in the area where I thought I felt her brush up against me. I've also felt that pressure, but at a much quicker rate, as if a cat had just run past me. But then I'd look around only to find Logan sleeping soundly in one of her favorite spots, usually up on the soft cushion of either my rocking chair or the foot rest across from it. Little things like this have happened occasionally ever since I moved into my apartment over 13 years ago, but I never actually saw anything. Until the other day, I was coming up my sidewalk to my front door, fishing my keys out of my pocket, when I saw Logan at the window next to the door. She likes to sit there and watch me, and sometimes she'll even get excited and rise up on her back legs to paw at the door as I'm turning the key to open it. And she usually retreats as I open the door. Sometimes, though, she'll just walk around behind the door and then get out of the way as it opens. On this particular day, I saw her at the window as I brought the key to the doorknob, and I saw her go behind the door. I then focused on getting the door open, and so did not look at the window again. As I opened the door, I realized I could not hear Logan behind the door, and then I realized she was not anywhere near the door either. I'm legally blind, so I can always hear her walking around on the linoleum floor of the entranceway, but this time I heard nothing. So I got inside, closed the door, still listening for sounds of her meowing or purring or moving. I heard nothing. I walked further into the apartment, and that's when I found Logan, my cat, fast asleep on the rocking chair at the back of the apartment. She had not been walking around at the door. She didn't even move until I walked over to her to verify that she was indeed my cat, and that she had been asleep. I then realized that I hadn't really looked closely at the cat at the window, as it had the same white stomach in front as Logan did. So naturally, I've been sure it was Logan. This other cat has similar features to Logan, or if it chose to appear to be Logan. But I know I saw a cat in my front window, and I know it walked behind my door as I was trying to open it. And I know that it wasn't there when I finally did open it. I don't know for sure if this is related or not, but I did have an odd dream a while ago that makes me wonder. In this dream, I was in my kitchen searching one of my cupboards for something. Then I heard a short series of bumps, and assuming it was Logan, told her to knock it off, as it was, of course, at around 3 in the morning. The noises continued, so I looked over to where they were coming from. Two identical versions of my cat sat on my couch, staring at each other, growling. I woke up, and Logan was sitting on the bed next to me, watching me. I got up. She went about her business as if nothing had happened. as usual. So that's all I have to report for now. Not afraid of this other cat, as it has never really done anything other than show up from time to time. It's just really interesting to me, as is every other story I hear on this amazing show. Thank you for taking the time to read my story.
Could it be just a lonely ghost cat that obviously knows you're a cat person because you have a cat and it just decided to just stay? Or could it be something to do with a cat that used to live where you live?
That can, you know, as ghost people sometimes do, they're not always necessarily at the place of where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
Can ghost cats wander? And do ghost cats have the same temperament as living cats? A lot of times, unless they're like brought up together, they don't necessarily like each other.
Yeah, that's true.
So is it still reacting the same way as it would if it were alive?
I don't know.
An odd thing to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
The temperament of a ghost cat. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Brittany in California. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis. This is Brittany from Southern California. And I have a story to share with you. It's not a long story. It's a short one. And it's a little embarrassing and PG-13. So if you can't use it on the podcast, I totally understand. But, well, here's a little background on my house. It's a regular housing tract. It was built about 20 years ago, so it's fairly new still. We were the only people to live here. And yeah, so that's my house right there. So 3 years ago, I met my boyfriend at the community college, and, you know, it was a whirlwind romance. We fell in love right away, whatnot. And with the school schedules, we were able to see each other during the middle of the day, because he would have a morning class and I would have a night class. And my parents and brother would be at work until about 5 p.m. So we had a little while to spend together. So during the time, he would come over from the college and we would just hang out at my house and whatnot. And a few times, you know, like romance would happen. And during it, there would be, like I said, my house isn't old, but there would be tapping and knocking on the wall, and I disregarded it as just the house settling. We were both like, oh, it's maybe just the house settling, it's nothing to worry about, and so on, and we just disregarded it. And then one time we were, you know, the romance was happening again, and we just, probably 5 minutes into it, we heard a loud bang, like as if someone was smacking their hand against the wall. And simultaneously, we both heard someone yell, "Hey!" And it was coming from my parents' room, and we were the only ones in the house, so we thought that was pretty. But the "Hey!" was like a man's voice. It was very deep and angry, and the hand, like, it sounded like it slammed against the wall at full force. I'm going to try to recreate the "Hey!" as best as I can, but it came out like, bam, and then, "Hey!" So we were very scared, and like I said, it came from my parents' room, but we were the only people in the house. So we immediately stopped what we were doing, and we, you know, we looked in my parents' room, but there was obviously no one there. So we didn't know what to make of it, and it couldn't have been a neighbor because it would have been muffled through the wall. Like, it sounded like it came directly from my parents' room. So that was pretty freaky. We ended up, you know, saying goodbye later on. I went to my night class. He went back home. And I thought about it a few years later. Like, it just kind of went on the back burner of my mind. And I think that maybe it was the spirit of one of my grandparents, like one of my grandpas, because my dad, he likes to keep a lot of old memorabilia that belonged to his dad, such as, you know, old hats, a pair of shoes, and some things from the Second World War in his room. And I feel as though maybe my grandpa was guarding the house and he didn't approve of what was going on, so therefore, you know, he made his presence known that we had to stop what we were doing because we were being disrespectful to the house, especially since my parents aren't home. So basically, after that incident, my boyfriend refuses to spend the night at my house or come over to do anything like that, because he's just so scared. And I'm I'm scared too, not gonna lie. But it's been, you know, 3 years later, we haven't had an experience, haven't heard any more knocking or tapping on the wall. So, like I said, I think it was just probably my grandpa disapproving of what was going on. So, thanks for listening to my story. I hope you guys can use it on the podcast. If not, I totally understand. And I'd just like to hear your opinion on what happened. All right, thank you. Bye.
I'm going to guess she kind of nailed it.
I think so.
I think it's the family member not approving of what's going on, considering that seems to be only occurring when the romance is going on.
Well, and it makes you wonder, not that you could ever talk to your parents, but it makes you wonder, is it just her and her boyfriend, or is nobody allowed to get it on in that house?
No, go ask your parents, see how that goes. Like, hey, Mom, I want to ask you guys about when you and Dad are doing it.
You ever hear anybody scream, hey?
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah.
Not either of you, just, you know, random dead people around the house. Does that ever happen? You know? There you go. I think she answered her own question.
I think
that's
so too.
That's what I would guess too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Devin calling from Ohio. And I called you once before, and I told you a story about the reflection of the woman I saw in the window when I was younger in the graveyard. Well, I got another story, and this one is actually not mine, but belongs to my sister-in-law. She has a family friend who they've known for years, and this family friend was a friend of my sister-in-law's mother. Well, she tragically died in an automobile accident a couple years ago. And, of course, that devastated the family. And they were all really, really, really upset because they loved her so much. And my sister-in-law's family loved her as well. Well, the time came for the funeral. They had the funeral. And she had made a will. The mother of... I made a will. And they could not find her will at all. And they looked all over the place for this will. The husband looked everywhere, garage, closets, everything, and he just couldn't find it. Well, about 3 days later, the bank called asking for the will and her inheritance, and the husband couldn't find it. So he was all upset because he couldn't find it. Well, he went out and took a walk, and when he came back, he started looking around and just couldn't find it. So he went downstairs to get a drink. And when he came back upstairs, there was his wife sitting on the bed. And she looked at him and smiled and said, I know what you're looking for. And she led him to where she had placed it in the closet where he had looked, and he never found it. He kept just overlooking it, and he finally found it where she said it would be. And he turned around to tell her thank you, like she was really there, and she was gone. And of course, that just emotionally tore him up after he just buried her and stuff. But it is quite a story. And I do have more, but I will save those for later. But I just thought that was a nice story. Well, thank you, and I appreciate your time, and hopefully this will get on the air. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I don't have anything to add to that. I mean, there you go.
It's one of those, like we say, it's a self-explanatory story,
mm-hmm.
And adding anything is, you know, just, I think, adding to add something.
Sure.
But in this case, that's pretty much what it was. Mm-hmm. She was there helping. Case closed.
Right.
You know. So thank you for calling in and sharing those experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the show, become an EPP Extra podcast person. You sign up to do that on our website, ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps our show on the air, our EPPs. Get all the bonus material. All 100 some bonus episodes, right around 110 now on the EPP episodes, and also all the archive shows that have fallen off of iTunes. Lots of good ones there for you to binge away on as well, like around 300 some. So, yeah, it'll populate your October very very well with ghost stories. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.